Well, welcome to the Epic Podcast, and we're already at episode 3, Genesis 16 to 26. In the previous episode, we witnessed Abraham's incredible encounter with God, the call and promise on his life, and his courage to step out of what he knew to pursue a relationship with the Almighty God. We got to understand how God's promise of a child and a legacy really resonated with the core cry of his heart and his barren womb that was desperate to birth purpose. So in today's story, we are picking up around 10 years after the call, and the promise is not yet fulfilled. Abram had really been through a lot, and he was still waiting for breakthrough. He had to face a famine, nearly losing his wife to Pharaoh, as well as the incredible sad separation from Lot, the nephew he loved. So let's jump into the timeline around 2080 BC, when Abraham is around 85 years old. Sarah by this stage was probably extremely frustrated, since her husband had dragged her half across the world based on a promise, and as far as she was concerned, nothing was happening. She was getting older, and there was no way that she was going to fall pregnant. She probably felt sorry for Abraham. God had had such high hopes for him. She had to be the problem. In those days, the woman carried the burden of infertility. It makes me think of how often we think we are the problem when we don't experience breakthrough in our own lives. We think, surely I'm not enough. I must do more to make it happen. If I don't do it, who's going to do it for me? I would imagine she must have felt quite desperate. So she decided to make it happen. Sarah had an Egyptian maid named Hagar. She probably acquired her from Pharaoh when he paid Abraham. Sarah was quite prepared to give up her place in Abraham's bed so that this plan would work. Surely this is like many of us when we feel God is not moving, we sacrifice intimacy with God when we try and take matters into our own hands. She nagged Abraham to sleep with Hagar. At least the child would be hers if she fell pregnant, as was the practice in those days. And Abram finally buckled and agreed that this is a good plan, and then he slept with Hagar. When Hagar fell pregnant, she got all puffed up and prideful. She had given Abram what he wanted, what any man would want, and Sarah could not. She probably took full advantage of the situation and dug into Sarah's insecurities. Scripture says she despised Sarah. I'm sure that Sarah was jealous, since Abraham's attention would have been quite distracted, and Hagar's swelling belly would have been a daily reminder of her own failure. So she begins to blame Abraham and mistreat Hagar. What Sarah had orchestrated and arranged herself now became the bane of her life. Hagar couldn't handle it anymore when Sarah was mistreating her, so she packed her bags and she ran away, even though she had nowhere to go and nothing to her name. She ran off into the desert, and after a while she got lost and collapsed, desperate and alone. But an angel found her next to the road by a spring, and he asked her, "Where have you come from? And where are you going?" After she poured out her heart, the angel comforted her and made her a promise. He told her to name her child Ishmael, and that he too would become a great nation. But she must go back and submit to Sarah. Then Hagar makes quite a profound statement as she recognized that this God of Abraham had spoken to her. Genesis 16 says, "She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, 'You are the God who sees me.' For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me.'" She was the first person to use the Lord's name, El Roy, the God who sees me. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born, and he loved him dearly. Later, Ishmael became the father of 12 sons and the Islamic religion. Now, it has been 24 years since Abram left Haran, and Ishmael was probably around 13 years old. And I think Abram was probably around 99 or 100. I think by now Sarah had accepted the mess she had made, but she would have no way of escaping the daily reminder that God had blessed her slave and not her. Then God spoke to Abraham. He told him he was changing his name from Abram to Abraham. And then he repeated all the promises. You will father many nations, he said. Abram had to seal this everlasting covenant by circumcising every male in his household and to continue doing so for generations to come. Then God also told him he was going to change Sarai's name to Sarah, and that she herself will birth this child of promise, and that they should call their son Isaac. Abram fell face down when he heard all of this, but scripture does allude to the fact that he had a chuckle. Well, let's face it, he was already quite old, 100, and his wife Sarah was not too far behind at the age of 90. It was laughable that she should fall pregnant. Not long after that, Abram camped by the trees of Mamre. This was near Hebron in Canaan. He liked to watch out for an opportunity to welcome any guest. So one day, in the heat of the day, he sat at the entrance of his tent, scouting the horizon for any would-be traveler. Then he noticed three men approaching, and immediately he ran out to them, beckoning them to join him for something to eat and drink. He got Sarah to quickly prepare the best of his supplies so that he could entertain them. Then she sat out of sight behind the tent curtain in earshot of their conversation. While the men were eating, Abraham stood a little distance from them, and if I read between the lines, I would imagine that there was something about them that he could recognize the presence of God. Keeping his distance would have been a sign of respect. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." The men asked Abraham, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah thought it was a joke when she overheard, and she laughed. Then one of them said, "Why are you laughing? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." After they had eaten, these three men got up to leave, and the Lord decided to tell Abraham about his plans. He was going to cause judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroy the cities. Remember, these were the immoral cities where Lot had decided to live. Abram was devastated, and he began to plead with the Lord, "Please don't destroy Sodom, if you can find anyone there to be righteous." I think Abraham was hoping that his nephew could still be rescued. These three men went to Sodom, and they found his nephew Lot sitting at the city gate. He immediately recognized that these men were holy, and he wanted to protect them from the evil in his city. He urged them to find shelter and safety in his home. But soon after, all the men of the village, young and old, came knocking at the door, and they demanded to have sex with these three men. Can you imagine? They were so determined that Lot eventually offered the crowd his virgin daughters. These three men told Lot, "Gather up your family and run, because we are going to destroy the city." But the son-in-laws thought they were joking, and they stayed behind. So the city was burnt, and Lot got away with his wife and two daughters. But when his wife looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt and froze. Then Lot went to live in the cave in the mountains with his two daughters. They were very isolated and without hope of ever finding husbands, since their betrothed had died in Sodom along with all the other men. So they were rather determined, these daughters, to solve the problem, and they plotted incest. They decided to make their father drunk and seduce him. They thought if they could fall pregnant, they would make sure that the family line survived. And so two great enemies of Israel were born. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab, so he was the father of the Moabites. And the younger daughter had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi, and he became the father of the Ammonites. We will learn more about these territorial and spiritual enemies when we cover the story of Moses. After this, Abram and Sarah moved to Gerar in Negev and were once again in Philistine territory. Things had really not been going well for Abram. God had made all these promises, but he couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was only natural that he would once again be gripped with fear regarding the desirability of his wife. He knew that those Philistines had no regard for his God, and there was no way he could stand up against them. So he made her hide her identity again, just to survive. Yes, Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, wanted her and he took her. The ordeal with Pharaoh had done nothing to strengthen Abraham's faith. Imagine, now for the second time, he was prepared to relinquish the love of his life. He was still growing as a man, and he still battled with fear. I wonder what Sarah thought of this. Did she think him weak? Did she resent God? Or had she learned from the ordeal with Pharaoh that God could be trusted? Well, God was faithful. The Lord securely closed the wombs of all the women in Abimelech's household because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And then he spoke to the king in a dream, and he told him what he had done. God instructed him to give Sarah back to Abraham immediately, and he told him that Abraham is a prophet, and he should get him to pray for him so that his household may live. So the king gives her back, and Genesis 20 says, "Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And then Abimelech said, 'My land is before you, live wherever you like.' To Sarah he said, 'I am giving your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you. Before all who are with you, you are completely vindicated.'" Once again, Abram was promoted in all manner of blessings. He was made very wealthy, just as he had been done when he faltered in his faith against Pharaoh. This was the second time he was made wealthy by another nation. This is interesting. Now, God called Abraham a prophet for the first time, and God used the very issue in his life, his lack, his barrenness, his emptiness, and he inflicted barrenness on the king of the Philistines and his household. Now God was saying, Abraham's prayer will heal them and open their wombs. Not only was Abimelech healed, but it seems to me that this was a prophetic event that ushered in the healing of Abraham and Sarah's womb as well. Scripture immediately continues with the fact that God was gracious to Sarah, and she conceived, and finally their promised child was a reality. Isaac was born a year later since the three visitors, and Abram was 100 years old. This was 25 years since Abram heard the promise for the first time. Obviously, this was a time of joy and celebration, because this was not just for Sarah and Abram, but the entire household got to witness the miracle as they watched Abram closely every day as he journeyed with his God. They witnessed his calling. They witnessed his grappling, his tenacious faith. They witnessed his disappointments and his struggles. And then they witnessed the hand of God on his life and that he would truly do as he promised. It was to be expected that Ishmael would have harbored a great deal of resentment. For 14 years he had been the object of his father's affection, but now there was an intruder in the family, and he was reminded that he was just a child of a slave. It was not surprising that he mocked Isaac, and when Sarah overheard this, she asked Abram to get rid of the Egyptian slave and her son. Obviously, Abraham became very distressed and sad about this. He loved Ishmael. How could he choose? How could he reject his only son? But God told him to do as Sarah had asked, because Isaac was the child through which God would continue the legacy. And he should not worry, because God was with Ishmael and he too would become a great nation. Poor Hagar. This was now the second time she found herself in the desert, alone, abandoned and rejected. She had nothing, and even the little water she had dried up. She couldn't bear to watch her boy die, so she set him aside under the bushes and fell into a heap and sobbed. An angel came to speak to her tenderly, and he told her not to be afraid, and he reminded her that Ishmael would grow into a great nation. Genesis 21 says, "God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got him a wife from Egypt." Abram really had a lot to deal with, and finding water was a huge issue, especially in the desert. Now we pick up the story where Abraham is still living in the Negev. Although the Philistines had given Abraham permission to live anywhere in the land, they started to notice the favor of God on his life, and they quickly became jealous of his wells. They accused him of stealing theirs, but Abraham paid Abimelech with 7 ewes and some cattle for a well he dug himself, and he made a treaty, which they decided to call Beersheba. Abram lived here in the Negev at Beersheba for a long time. So for now, the Philistines and Abram's family were living in a peaceful relationship. We're not sure exactly how old Isaac was when God spoke to Abram. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Can you imagine? Isaac was the gift that he was celebrating with God. Isaac was the proof that God could be trusted. And Isaac was the son God promised to birth a legacy through. What was he thinking? What kind of God is this? Now instructing them to sacrifice the very child God had promised them 25 years ago. But Abram had matured. He had matured in his understanding of God's nature, and he didn't hesitate to obey. But when the time came, God intervened, and Genesis 22 says, when the angel of the Lord called out to him from the heavens, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And God provided the ram to be sacrificed. The angel of the Lord called to Abram from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants numerous as the stars are in the sky and as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all the nations on the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me. So Abram returned home with Isaac to the well at Beersheba, and later Abram and Sarah moved back to Hebron in Canaan. There she died at the age of 127, and since she was 90 when Isaac was born, she did at least enjoy him for 37 years. So this was the first time that Abram bought a piece of land in Canaan. He bought it from Ephron the Hittite, and he buried Sarah in the cave in the fields of Mamre at Hebron. Later, when Abram was nearing the end of his life, he needed to find the right wife for Isaac. He had to ensure that the legacy that is fathered through him would be in accordance to God's plan. So he called his servant to help and told him to go to Haran and find his brother Nahor. He should find the right wife there. But under no circumstances must he take Isaac back there. So Abram told him that an angel of the Lord would go before him and take care of the details. The servant wanted to get it right, so he prayed to Abram's God and he asked him to set up a divine appointment. He laid out a fleece and he listed all the things that should happen at the well when he arrives in Haran. He basically told God how it should all play out, so that he could be sure he had the right wife for Isaac. Then this is what the servant prayed. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to your master. So the servant waited at the well in Haran. For interest's sake, I would like to just add that waiting at the well is where we spend time with Jesus, listening and waiting for him to speak to us and show us what's next. Then Rebekah, the great-granddaughter of Abraham's brother Nahor, approached the well. She was incredibly beautiful. Lo and behold, everything played out just as he had described to the Lord, and he knew she was the woman for Isaac. When she invited him into her house, they told her father all about the details. It was quite a testimony, and there could be no denying that this was the woman that God had chosen. Her family and her brother Laban sent her off with their blessing, and Abram's servant takes her to Isaac, and he was greatly pleased and comforted after Sarah's death. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. Genesis 25:20 tells us, she was the daughter of an Aramean from Paddan Aram, and the sister of an Aramean, Laban. I only tell you this because later when we journey further into the history of the Israelites, especially during the time of Kings, we get to see that these Arameans become a great enemy of God's people. Abram did eventually take another wife after Sarah died. Her name was Keturah, and she gave him 6 more sons, including Midian. The Midianites also become an enemy of Israel, and we learn more about them during the time of Moses. Abram was 175 years old when he died, and he was buried next to Sarah in the cave at Hebron in Canaan. Jacob and Esau, his grandsons, were probably around 15 when he died. And Abram left all his wealth to Isaac, and we can assume that nothing went to Ishmael. Did Abraham's son Isaac and Rebekah the chosen wife live happily ever after? Did God's promise of a legacy ever materialize? Or did this beautiful and blessed couple have to face a difficult road ahead of infertility and hardship? If God intended to birth a legacy of many descendants through them, and they were the product of a profound promise from God, why did God close Rebekah's womb and make it so difficult to have a child? Was it not enough that Sarah and Abram had to wait 25 years for their promised child? All the difficulty that they had gone through and learning to trust God. Surely God was finished with this family, but now the second generation had the same issue, a barren womb. Well, folks, we'll have to wait till next week to find out. Be sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel to keep up to date with new episodes, and also feel free to share. Let us work together to spread God's story and see the manifold wisdom of our Lord as He reveals His blueprint for the world. If you would like a copy of this epic book, A Chronological and Visual Guide Through the Old Testament, as well as my first book, Crossing the Jordan River, Stepping into Destiny, these are available on Take a Lot SA. You can also log on to my website, intuitiveprophetictheart.co.za, or you can email me on michellenierthlingart@gmail.com. Michelle with one L, and that's THLING, art. Follow me on Instagram, also Michelle Nierthling Art. Well, folks, thanks for listening with me today, and make sure to tune in, subscribe, so that you can hear the next episode.